Hey, it's Brian Hayes. It used to stress me out when things would break in my house. Not anymore, though, and I'm sure you can guess why. Jiffy. The other day, my dryer stopped working. Out of the blue, zero heat. But I didn't panic. I just hopped on the Jiffy app. John came that afternoon, and all my wet laundry was dry in no time. Jiffy saved the day once again. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable, home maintenance. Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Yeah, Mike Johnson coming up this hour. Mike Nolan, longtime coach in the NFL, NFL Network analyst. He'll join us in about a half an hour. Like, it is the calm before the storm in the NFL. There's not a lot of news. Teams are in Philly. Teams are in Kansas City. They haven't flown in yet. Once they get to Arizona, then it starts to feel real again.
Someone, yeah.
I haven't been tracking the line. I haven't seen if the line has moved at all. But it opened, I believe, Kansas City favorite, and there's so much money that came in on Philly, it flipped. Last time I saw it, Philly was like a two-point favorite on FanDuel. But, yeah, it's going to be a great game. Like, it should be a great game. It should be a great game with two really quality quarterbacks, really good teams, deep teams,
and we have to
fan bases that travel.
We have to do the whole, like, coin flip everything.
Right? Everything
and,
next week,
yes. And when are we going to... We're going to figure out what the different prop bets are, too.
Yeah. Right? So
and the value of them.
Yeah. I think that's something that we need to try to figure out. Like, maybe the spread and the total are worth 2 points, and the props are worth 1 point. You know, something like that. Because as of now, Team Luke Bryan, we are 4-2. So we have 8 points. We're going based on the hockey point system.
The calling of the game, the winner, the spread, is, we'll call it 3 points, then two, and then all the little stuff.
Like, if you actually pick the winner.
But that's, the issue with that is only one team can pick it, unless we're on different sides, and then whoever, then there's a guaranteed winner, as opposed to if you pick it wrong, just no points are awarded. Okay. Like, we got to talk about that. We got a lot to discuss here. We got a week to figure it out.
What's your early lean, as Davis Sanchez would say?
Yeah, my lean is Philly, but
really,
yes, my lean is Philly because of just the way that they're built, the way that they've been playing, their run game, their pass rush. But I will admit, betting against Patrick Mahomes is incredibly difficult to do.
That would be tough to do.
Very difficult to do. You just know what he's capable of, and if he's that much more healthy, which we expect that he would be,
right,
with 2 weeks of recovery post-AFC Championship game, he was great in that game. He'll be even better at the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Before I forget, shout-out to JP and an apology to JP. When we went to commercial, JP got on his mic. Do you want to share? You got to share with the knowledge you shared with us.
It took me a second to find it because these boots are worn out, but they are Skechers.
JP's rocking Skecher boots.
But see, he's young.
And we love JP.
Yeah, he's young.
And JP's a stylish dude. Yeah.
And by the way, no offense, because we didn't know that.
I actually don't care. I laughed about it with the rod, but like, there's no identifying marks on that they're Skechers.
Are they very comfortable?
Logo, very comfortable.
And a giant S on the side?
Nothing like that. So I didn't even know that until taking a look.
I feel like the Skechers I had a giant S that was raised and almost like furry or something.
Oh, they want people to know.
You are identifying yourself when you walk in.
A lot of people love a Skecher. And JP, listen, he's a young guy. He's a stylish dude. And if he's rocking Skechers, we're on the wrong side.
If they want to send us some, we'll give them a spin. We'll take them for a spin.
I think I've got a pair. I'll somehow remind me on tomorrow's show.
Mm-hmm.
I will go into the closet and dig them out.
Okay, you bring them in.
I've got a pair.
Like Joe's tweeting it. This is where, again, we make a comment.
Hit a nerve.
You know, that we've hit a nerve on people. Like Joe's tweeting in about his plantar fasciitis. Sorry, Joe.
We don't care. We don't know you.
Yeah, I understand the suffering of a plantar. It sucks. It's a tough thing. Tiger's going through it right now.
Right.
But, you know, he's bringing up his podiatrist. Like,
I
get
it. You could have got some Nikes.
The Monarchs are very, very comfortable as well. Adidas makes a very comfortable shoe,
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. Every line has a comfortable shoe, and fine.
Yeah.
If you have plantar fasciitis, go for it. But, you know, we're not breaking down details. We're just talking about, you know, what it's all about. Mike Johnson will join us here in a moment. The top 25 list was revealed today on TSN and TSN.ca. We all partook, right? We all did our vote. We all sent our votes in, our top 25. What's interesting about this list, so before the year, we all vote on the top 50, what we project to be the top 50 players in the NHL. And then at the All-Star break, we voted again on a top 25, and it's been revealed now. The top 25 players, looking back on this season, so basically through 50 games on average, how would you rank the top 25 players? To no one's surprise, Connor McDavid, unanimous at number one.
Yeah.
Everyone had Connor at number one. He deserves to be at one. I don't believe, to anyone's surprise, Draisaitl at number two. I personally had Pasternak number two on my list, Draisaitl three. Yeah. But on this list, it's Draisaitl two, Pasternak three. That's not a big surprise. Pasternak was 25 coming into the season on our top 50, but he's a superstar. Like, no one would have been surprised if you said he's having a great year and he's number three. Where the surprises come in are Tage Thompson at number four, Erik Karlsson at number seven, and Linus Ullmark at number eight.
Wow. Yeah. Well, those guys weren't rated. They
exactly.
weren't on
the list. Not even in the stratosphere of coming into the top 50.
I know for a fact I didn't have Ullmark that high.
I had him in the top 10. I had all three of those guys in the top 10.
Of course, here we go with you. You do this every year. As soon as
I'll show you my list.
No,
Where did you have Ullmark? Where did you have him?
Dude,
out of curiosity.
You know what? Next commercial break, I'll look, and we'll talk amongst each other.
Okay.
Why do we? Okay, yeah, okay. Why do we talk on air? But here's more.
We have
about
a guest on the phone.
Yeah, but
my thing is, Linus Ullmark is having not just a career year; he's having like Hasek type of numbers.
Yes,
like
the statistics. And
like he had to meet, for me, he had to be in the top 10.
Not for O.
Well, maybe he might be.
I was asked a question, mind you, it was by a Bruins fan last night, and he was sitting beside me. Do you think Ullmark will get heart love?
Interesting.
If he's having Hasek like stats, he probably should.
Which is, I mean, he's
something
in that
to chew on.
Something to chew on. All right, here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Did you have Linus Ullmark in your top 10, Johnny?
I don't think I did.
Wow.
I don't think. I have to check. I mean, I did it just a week ago. So it's not
Johnny
long
hates
ago,
goalies, too, so that's it.
Well, yeah.
You're like Ray. You and Ray. Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all goal scorers and offensive
college
stats.
Players.
College players.
Anyone from Scarborough?
Yeah.
Bowling Green College.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of those things I like, yeah. No, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, it's the most important position in the league, on the team, and he's doing better than anyone else in the league, undoubtedly, at that. I mean, I guess he warrants top 10 consideration. You know, I guess the question is, like, how much of that is also driven by the team and how much is it him? But you cannot deny the stats. They are ridiculous. Now, Swayman's are really pretty good as well, other than his, a couple of rocky starts. So, but yeah, I mean, having the fact that Ullmark is in that list is not, to me, quite as shocking, because goaltending, generally, is so impossible to predict. Like, you don't know. Like, Logan Thompson might, could have been one of the best goalies. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen year to year. But Tage Thompson, to me, the fact that he was in the top five and deserves to be there, that is out of left field. I know we had a good year last year, but not this kind of year. So that one, to me, is was the shocker.
Yeah, hold on a second. Sorry,
Johnny.
Someone sent us a picture, and we're trying to stay on the rails.
We're trying
here.
To stay focused here.
Yeah, we're trying to stay focused.
But we've had an incident, but it's fine. But
anyway,
I agree with you. The fact that the numbers do, especially with a guy like Swayman. I don't think he's played as well, and I don't think he's been as good a goaltender as Ullmark. But again, you've got a team that is, how good is the team? How good is the goaltender? A combination of both. I struggle. I'll be honest. I struggled with that list because there are guys that I just want in there because I know how good they are, but they're not. Like Austin Matthews was a guy that I struggled with.
Yes.
I don't know how you felt, Johnny. I struggled with Austin Matthews.
He's ranked 23 on this list.
Right.
He was number two coming into the season, and TSN collectively has him at 23. So
I don't know if I had him in my top 25. He'd be right around the edge.
Yep.
And I guess that's the curiosity. Like, did you have Mitch Marner on your list? Did you have William Nylander on your list? And if so, were they both higher than Austin Matthews? Right. And now Austin's year has not been bad at all. It's essentially almost the same points and goals as Nylander. And yet Nylander, you know, comfortably is inside whatever he was, 16 or 17 or something like that. And then Austin below him, when Austin is undoubtedly a better defensive player as well, even with the list production, I think it's almost more you're being hypercritical right. of Austin Matthews because he is so good and the standard he set has been so high.
That's what it was. He set the bar so high last year that it's tough to live up to every year. We know that. But it's just, I'm looking at him going, yes, good season, but we saw an amazing season 6 months ago. So you're that's the bar he set for
So me. Did McDavid and Drysdale in their 1-2.
Yeah, but like McDavid's now...
McDavid's on a different level, but
McDavid keeps building on what he's doing.
Right, exactly. But like Drysdale and Matthews, like I think McDavid's on his own, and then I would have a list that would include Drysdale, Matthews, McKinnon, McCarr, you know, in terms of just building a team today.
Yeah.
Not based on what we've seen through 50 games, but Drysdale every single year, you know, game one is in the top five, game 50 is in the top five, game 82 is, like, he is consistently in the top five.
Yeah,
always.
Outside of injuries, I mean, that's
of course.
One thing, right?
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, you hear Drysdale today, he's like, now he can be hard on himself, but in the media availability at All-Star, he's like, I haven't played well in the first half. Like, I'm not happy with how I played. Now, some of that might be lip service, but like so much of the offense for those big numbers for Connor and Leon is on the power play. And I do think Leon thinks he can be better 5-on-5 in the remaining 30-something games that they have to play because, you know, does Connor have 35 power play points, 40 power play points? Like, their power play numbers are staggeringly huge because I know their power play runs through the two of them, and it's unstoppable, it seems.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. And I feel like Drysdale especially doesn't care about stats anymore. Like, I think that he's been there, done it. I feel like he found maybe a sweet spot of what he expects out of himself in last year's playoffs. And that's the internal bar that he might have set going, I know I'm capable of this. I know I've won a heart. I've been right there. Like it's more about what can I do kind of for success as a team. And both of those guys are hungry out there. And that's the same type of attitude that the guys have to have here in Toronto.
Well, and they do in Toronto. I mean, right. I saw the quote from Nylander a couple of days ago where I feel for the Leafs in a way. Because they're paralyzed by the playoffs and the lack of success, and I get the impression they're terrified to acknowledge any regular season success or having fun. Like Willie went out of his way to be like, "Whatever, I don't care. We just got to win." It's like, come on, Willie! Like you're having a career year, man. You can admit right. that. Say you're having a great year. Even say you should be at the All-Star game. I'd back you on that. You should be. But like Matthews has done it, Marner's done it. Matthews could have an 11-point night, and they'd come out and say, "Well, it doesn't matter. We got to do what we're doing in the playoff." Like,
right? Yeah.
They can't breathe publicly right now. It feels that way.
I hope that privately they're able to enjoy the journey.
Yes,
because it's hard, right? Like it's hard. It's arduous. It's tiring, and like you need to be able to celebrate the successes. And if all you are is like ho humming every time you do something good, like that makes it that much longer a season and that much harder to kind of keep your joy. Why they do it, and I get why if they came out and did exactly what you say, it's like, nah, I mean, I love it. I want to score 50. I'm chasing it. I'd love to do that. Everyone's like, well, look at these guys, selfish, all they care about. Like, you know, you could see the reaction, so I know why they do it, but hopefully privately, like in their own minds, in their own heads, they are being able to enjoy another tremendous year certainly for Nylander and Marner.
Yeah, I'm struggling. Like I said, I've told this to O and to Hayes. I struggle to put that 25 game list or 25 player list together because I left off some unbelievable players.
Oh yeah,
that like
Vasilevsky.
I left Saros, Vasilevsky, Barkov, Tuck. You know, Hyman and RNH are having unbelievable seasons.
I had Hyman on my list.
I didn't have them on my list. Pettersson, I left off my list.
You know what,
Johnny? What Hayes does is every good player. He goes, I had him on my list.
Yeah, I know. He's 40 got 75 guys. Players on his list.
Yeah,
I had everybody. He needs to broadcast his list.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't. Yeah. I had Pavel Zacha on my list. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, he was a big round. Did you hear the reaction of the Boston radio guy when he scored his goal?
No.
That's why he was a first round pick in 2018. I'm like, that's 5 years ago. Or he was 16. I'm like, you can't reference a top talent from 7 years ago because he happened to score a wrist shot that went under the bar. It was a ridiculous call. It was
stoppable puck, too.
One that probably should have been saved anyways. But I did have Hyman as my 25th guy because of the year he's having. And I'm like, well, maybe it's power play. But he's like top 12 in the league in 5-on-5 points. And he's got 26 goals.
Right.
Like, you know, if it's not about who's a better player, but who's just played better. And I know he does it because he plays with those guys. But, man, I did put him at 25 on my list. I do remember that.
There you go.
Johnny, you're down at the All-Star game. I don't know what you think of it, but... We all love watching hockey. I can't do it. I think it's too gimmicky. I just want East versus West. Are they ever going to change it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the All-Star game is for you, though. You're too nuanced and like wise of a viewer. Like, it's for young people. It's for new fans. It's certainly for the corporate sponsorship because everything about the game is corporately done. You know, if you want to make it pure, then you can't have every team be represented, and you can't talk 3-on-3. But I also think having the game look like it does, even though it might not appeal to you, I bet it appeals to the players who are actually playing the game. They don't want to play 5-on-5. They don't want to play a 4-3 game like this. Like, let's go out there, skate around, lots of open ice, we'll trade some breakaways, call it a day, and go home. Like, you're trying to balance the corporate responsibilities while growing the game to fans who are not yet diehard fans of the game, which is not what you are, and then also, cater to the players who don't want anything hard about this weekend, anything real about the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's far down the list in terms of what you want to see change and what is likely to change. I mean, that's been a big discussion the last couple of days, Johnny. Bettman, his 30th anniversary yesterday, and everyone's got a take, right? Everyone, if they were commissioner for a day, they'd change something. How would you answer that question? What role would you play?
Yeah, well, for the two things, there's also been something about the viewership in the States not being quite as high, and I'm like, you got to look at the numbers a little more closely because when it's not quite as obvious as the way the article presented itself. But if I was commissioner for a day, yeah, I'm not sure what I would do. I think I would probably, you guys will hate this, but I would be inclined to empower the refs to call the rule book as it's written.
What does that even mean?
Just a ton of penalties.
Initially there would be a lot of penalties. Yeah, there would. But I think the teams that learn faster will be more successful.
Johnny, isn't there enough penalties as there is? It's a special teams practice every night.
Maybe for you. I think if the rules are that way, figure it out how to take fewer penalties and you give yourself a much better chance of winning.
I
don't think it's fair to be like, well, they call a lot of penalties, so we're going to let a whole bunch of infractions go because we can't have too many. Like, I don't think that's the right solution to that conversation.
See, what are your thoughts on playoff format then? Like, for me, that's what I'd be looking at. Like, either adding in play-ins, having more teams make the playoffs, or changing the format, 1 versus 8, 1 versus 16, something, get crazy here. You want to talk about progressive and new fans and stuff like that. Like, don't you feel like something along those lines would be a little bit more exciting?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the play-in thing, you could convince me to have that conversation, but half the teams make the playoffs. Like, I don't think they need to make it any easier to make the playoffs. Like, half the teams make it. That's quite a few. And the other problem, and I get the 1 versus 8 stuff, particularly topical in Toronto because they have a very difficult road to get there, even though they have the third best record in the league. But if you're going to get to the end of the line, you're going to have to beat those teams anyways. So, I don't feel quite as offended by that as some. And the issue with 1 versus 8 or 1 versus 16 especially, what happens if you're first overall and you're Boston and the 16th place team is LA. Now your reward for being the best team is to have to fly cross country for your first round series. Like, that's not something that the teams will want to take on the travel of that kind of matchup. So I don't mind. I think I'm in the minority here, but I don't mind the current playoff format. I think I like the idea that Tampa and Florida might play each other more often. Edmonton and Calgary, Washington and Pittsburgh, Toronto and Boston, or Toronto and Tampa. Like, I'm okay with it. I know it's harder for Toronto, but it won't always be, but it is right now. But I don't mind the idea that best rivalries and most interest is drawn in the playoffs. If those teams can meet multiple times and be geographic rivals, which is more likely in the current format, I see the value in that.
Yeah, I think it's also the nature of the game, you know, is changed so much where I don't know if rivalries can exist the way that they could in the past. You know, it's just not as physical. There's no hatred anymore.
Tampa and Florida 2 years ago would prove otherwise, but not with the same regularity.
Right, sure. And that was in the regular season. And there were times, you're right, leading into the playoffs, there were a couple of dust-ups.
Yeah, they played the first round of the playoffs the 1 year, and it was a hellacious series. Mm-hmm. You know, like, lots of stuff happening there. But, yeah, you're right. But, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think there's anything screaming at me, you got to change this to make the game better. I could do with, what about, like, another small thing, 8 minutes of overtime or 10 minutes of overtime just to have fewer shootouts. I could do with that, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone would sign off on that for sure, like, from a fan perspective and viewing perspective, no question. All right, Johnny. Well, I mean, I'm sure you caught that Leaf-Bruin game last night. We've been asking. Yeah. We've been discussing it. You know, it's a one-off. It's a one-game. It's not like Dubas is completely changing his plan because they lost to the Bruins last night. But what do you make of, you know, how the Leafs are built, how it's going to stack up against Tampa, and then if you get through, how you eventually stack up against Boston, likely in the second round?
Well, I mean, I would say they don't have Austin Matthews, and they're not going to beat Boston without Austin Matthews, right? So, like, that's the starting point. So you got to take that in consideration as you evaluate that game. Wasn't a great game for the Leafs, wasn't a great game for Samsonov, but I think the Leafs are 4-2 in the last 2 years against Boston. They have one of the best records in the entire NHL versus the Bruins in the last year and a half. So I'm not taking that game and saying, we're in trouble here, we can't compete with these guys, you know, it's not going to work. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion. You know, Sandin probably didn't have his best night, fair enough, but when the goaltender is not as good as Boston's goalie, and Samsonov wasn't, that's going to be trouble. And when you don't have Austin Matthews, that's going to be trouble. If those two things are not that way, I like Toronto's chances to win in a series against Boston. So I don't think whatever Kyle Dubas was feeling or thinking beforehand, I don't think any of that's changed based on last night's game.
Yep, I don't think there's any doubt. Enjoy it down there, Johnny. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, either in Florida or on his way down to Florida, and the All-Star game this weekend.
He's got a good gig.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one down there.
That would have been a fun place to go, too. Just set up shop, put the studio out there.
Absolutely. Set up in South Florida?
Yeah, I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, it looks beautiful down there. We get the waste management next weekend, the Super Bowl next weekend. Everyone's going to great places.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to great places.
Except for us.
Except for us, yeah. All right, Mike Nolan will join us, former head coach in the NFL, NFL Network analyst. We'll get his take on the upcoming Super Bowl, his take on Brady, and what he makes of it in terms of the NFC, AFC, and quarterbacking situations throughout the league. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel a little bit later in the hour. Mike Nolan will join us here in a moment, former Niners head coach, NFL Network analyst. The Pro-Am is going on at Pebble Beach, and I just saw a stat. Our boy Nick Taylor, my boy Nick Taylor, although our other boy is going to the Live. That's not good. Yeah, our Pro-Am guy.
Who? Sebastian Munoz has gone to Live?
Yes. I don't know if it's Cash. Official, but I believe it is.
Cash is king, boys.
Yeah.
I keep saying that.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of, like, South American players. Like, they're all, you know, Munoz went, Neiman went. There's a couple of other guys who were over there. So, yeah, I believe he's either flipped or he's going to flip. So, Sebastian Munoz is out. But Nick Taylor, who is another one of our guys at the Pro-Am at the Canadian Open. He shot 3-under today, and that is the 17th consecutive par or better score at the event, the current longest active streak.
Wow. Who's leading? Good for your boy?
Yeah, that's Hanky Lebiota, the Hankster.
Lebsy, yeah. The lefty.
Lebiota's at 7-under. He's still in the course. It's not a good leaderboard. Chad Ramey's up there. Bill Gordon.
It's not good.
Lipsky. Eric Cole, your boy Eric Cole. I don't know. Is he a pro golfer?
The Ben hockey Martin? Player? Not
no, there's it's no not actually.
Beast. There's no nothing. There's no Fitzy. There's nothing.
No, there's not. There's, you know, Kyle Westmoreland's up there.
Wait till the Live guys start chirping, saying, "Oh, great leaderboard."
They're going to.
This is so painful.
It's just
apparently
not.
Phil is trying to set up a Live versus PGA event.
Oh yeah,
of course he is. But that's not.
Which
happen.
Is something that I would actually be interested because there's hatred.
Everybody would. It would do monster numbers if you set up a pay per view at a great course. Phil versus Tiger, PGA versus Live. It would do
no,
phenomenal.
No, full Ryder
numbers.
Cup, PGA versus yes. Live. I would want to go to it.
It would be phenomenal. You'd have Live guys in shorts, PGA guys in.
Yeah, I'd be.
You know, it would be great. But
I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, so would I. It'd be outstanding. But we got the Super Bowl coming up, and you can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on CTV. And the Tom Brady news, I mean, that's the news of the week in the NFL. What happens in Tampa, no one knows. Right. Like, they probably just go right back to being a completely irrelevant team, which is too bad. But that's what they were before Brady showed up. They were the worst team in the league for a decade. Wow. And now without him, you're screwed. Aaron Rodgers, though, was at Pebble Beach, and that's why I brought that up.
Right.
And he was asked a couple of questions. Colt Nost was doing kind of a back and forth with him. You guys want to hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say?
Fired up.
Yep.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Colt.
Got any news you want to share with us?
Not going to San Fran.
You look great with a Cowboy star on your helmet.
Yeah, but he's not going to San Fran.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. I don't know if that means he doesn't want to go there, or they're not going to trade for him, or he knows the Packers aren't going to trade him to San Francisco.
Dude, right. That could change in a day. Like that's just a that's a six beer comment, what I call it.
Shanahan, like Kyle Shanahan, it's like he's a sympathetic figure now because Purdy's out maybe for a full year with Tommy John. Garoppolo's gone. Trey Lance has just been so injured and he's so raw that they got a great team, but the quarterback position's a mess. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a man that's very familiar with the Bay Area and the Niners. He's the former head coach out in San Fran, former Broncos DC as well. Now you see him on the NFL Network. Here is Mike Nolan. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Do you have any sympathy, though, for Kyle Shanahan and this quarterbacking situation, considering all the injuries that they're dealing with and the uncertainty moving forward with the Niners?
Well, I wouldn't call it sympathy, but certainly what happened in the Super Bowl was a shame. I was kind of excited to watch the young guy play a little bit. So, but going forward, you know, heck, it's a good problem to have a bunch of quarterbacks. But as Tom Landry used to say, you never have all ones. You got all twos if you have a bunch of guys. So they got a bunch of twos, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it? And, you know, Tom Brady's not going to be the answer. Aaron Rodgers said, you know, today at Pebble Beach, he's not going there. So, I guess it's Trey Lance, you know, and if it is Trey Lance, they traded up for him, right? Like at the draft, there's something they saw in him that made them believe he can be the guy.
Yeah, from what I saw a year ago, he has some developing to do without question. And I think that the young guy that came on this year that at the end of the season, he's gonna give him some good competition for that job now. And then again, you got Garoppolo. So you got, as you've already mentioned when we started the show, I mean, you got three. You got some quarterbacks that all can play. It'll be interesting to see who comes out of it number one when their season begins.
So, Mike, where do you see the best fit for Rodgers? He just had that kind of off-the-cuff comment, not going to San Fran. How do you see it playing out with him?
That's a great question because, you know, he's got the West Coast ties. He came out of he's from Northern California up there, so you'd think he'd want to go home for a little bit, but he's been in Green Bay for all these years. He's had such a great career. You know, look, the best fit for him is naturally going to be a team that's got a good defense because he's he's a phenomenal quarterback. Now, this year he didn't play that way, but, you know, he was a little bit like Russell at Denver. In my eyes, I kind of saw two guys that didn't play with the same fire and competitiveness that they once had, and I don't know what that was due to. And I thought that was the same thing with Aaron at Green Bay. It looked like, I don't know, it just looked like he wasn't playing hard all the time. Matter of fact, the one game he did play hard was going against Mike McCarthy at Dallas when he beat the Cowboys, and he was playing like his own self. So it kind of, to me, it proved what I was thinking about him from the standpoint that he's still a great player. He just wasn't motivated for some reason. So whoever gets him, if they can motivate him, you know, that's the whole key, because he's, the guy's talented.
You mentioned Russell Wilson. It could not have been a bigger disaster for him this season, his inaugural year in Denver. But now he's got Sean Payton coming in, and Payton's a great coach. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Do you think Payton can push the right buttons to get Russell Wilson going again? And do you think Denver can be a competitive team next year?
Well, if Russell gets going, they will be competitive, no question, because they had a good defense this year, and I would expect that to stay the same. But offensively, Russell wasn't himself. As I was saying, Aaron Rodgers wasn't either, but Russell just wasn't himself. And I don't think he was himself the last couple of years up in Seattle, and I think that's why they let him go. Why that is he's not himself, I don't know. You know, look at things happen for these guys off the field too. There's, you know, they've all got families and they've got things going on. Personally, my guess would be when I watch him play, I think he has a lot of distractions off the field because he doesn't play like himself. He doesn't look like he's put in the time to do what he normally does. And he certainly didn't have the support of his teammates that he once had in Seattle, even. But even the last 2 years in Seattle, I think things really fell off for some reason. So whatever it is about him, it's been a few years since he's really been the Russell that we all know can really play the game well.
Mike, Super Bowl next weekend. If both quarterbacks, they're obviously neither of them are healthy, if they are both 100%, who would you like in the game?
Boy, I tell you, if they're both 100%, well, there's no question. Patrick Mahomes, if they were all both 100%. Now, I do like the guy at Philly. I mean, he's done a great job, and he's really matured each and every year. From the time he was a rookie, when he was just picking one guy out, and if he wasn't open, he was running. I mean, now he's the complete deal. He's doing an exceptional job. He's got a heck of a surrounding cast. Well, both quarterbacks really do have a great surrounding cast. I just love that O-line from Philadelphia, though. I think they really make a difference in the game because their running game is so strong because of it. So, again, if Mahomes was 100%, I would give them the slight edge. But since he's not, personally, I think Philly's got the edge.
You mentioned the O-line. What about the defense? Who do you think has a better defense?
I would say this year, I think Philadelphia's got the better defense. I think they've really stopped some good opponents, and consistently, the Kansas City's defense is a good defense, very good. They disrupt the ball a lot. I think that's what they kind of rely on, is disrupting the quarterback, and disrupting the ball, whether it's batted balls, interceptions, takeaways, things like that. That's been kind of traditionally what they've been over the years with Spags. Spags has got a really good mind for football. I think he does a lot of things. So he throws a lot at offenses that I don't believe Philly will throw some things at you, but not quite as much as Kansas City does. That doesn't make you a better defense. It just makes you a different kind of defense. I would in this game, I would kind of give the edge to Philly's defense as well. So that's why I kind of picked them to be the team in this one.
We're chatting with Mike Nolan, former NFL coach, NFL Network analyst. Because of how much talent is on both sides of the ball in Philly, it seems to me that Nick Sirianni, their coach, is not getting enough love. Also, they beat the Giants, and then they beat the Niners on a fifth-string quarterback. So it was an easier route to the Super Bowl, but they can't control that. Do you think Sirianni, the fact that he's got them playing the way that he has, the fact that they're in a Super Bowl, how much more does he have to prove, in your opinion, Mike?
Well, I don't know if he has to prove much more. Nick has done an exceptional job. I was fortunate to coach with Nick down in San Diego back in 2015. He was an offensive assistant at that time. I think he was quarterback coach. But for Mike McCoy, who was the head coach at that time. But Nick has done an outstanding job there. I've been surprised by the, you know, by how much success he's had so fast, only because, I mean, they've really been good for a couple of years. So, but as you already said, stated, and I think it's very true, I mean, they really have a strong roster. They've put together quite a football team, and the maturation of the quarterback has been, you know, has really elevated their game on offense. This year, their defense has really come together, and I think this is the same coordinator they've had for 2 years, but you guys might know that better than I do. I'm going to guess that he has been there at least the 2 years with Nick, but they've played exceptionally well on defense as well. Their team is really a strong team, and as all good football teams are, it starts with the personnel and then goes to the coaches. And in this case, I think Nick deserves credit, but he's got one heck of a football team that he gets to go onto games on Sunday with.
Mike, can you speak about the prep going into the Super Bowl? It's legendary talk about how coaches are at the facility at 5 in the morning or earlier, and they don't leave until late at night. When you've got the Super Bowl, are these guys just, like, locked up at the practice facility until, and, like, nothing is unseen? Like, every trick play, every single quality play the opposition makes? Can you just speak about the prep that goes into it?
Well, most of the teams will get their team ready this week as we speak right now. And then the following week, they just kind of polish the things because there's a lot of distractions and a lot of things that go on once they travel to the Super Bowl site. So they try to do a lot of the work this week. I think routines are so important and for players and coaches that I don't know that anybody, for example, prepares any harder the week of the Super Bowl than they have the entire week, because every game is really meaningful. It's not like they've got, you know, 60 games to play or whatever it might be. I mean, every game in the NFL is a really important football game, and obviously in the playoffs, that's even more so. But like I said, I think from a prep standpoint, guys kind of stay in their routine with what they've done. You do have more time to go through things, but sometimes that can be a killer, because if you try to go too far with things and try to cover everything that could possibly happen that you haven't done during the season, or should I say, if it's different from what you've done during the season, it'll throw some guys off. It's best just to continue to prep. Like, if you've made it to the Super Bowl, you've covered your bases every week for the most part, pretty doggone good. So that's why I would say that most teams will, you know, the coaches might look through some old tape just to see if there's something that you know, they want to be prepared for in case it happens in the game. But I would say this, they'll prepare like they normally do, and the coaches may have some things on the back burner that if in the game something shows up that they saw in the film but didn't expose the players to because they thought, look, I don't think we'll see it, they'll already have a plan for it. So in other words, it would be one of those things where they might catch a player or two on the field, and when the guys come off, say, look, guys, we've already seen this. They did it against Chicago. Here's what we're going to do to defend it, and they kind of go over it. So the coaches could possibly go through some things and just put them on the side in case it occurs in the game so they're prepared. But I don't think they won't share everything with the players, because they don't need it. You know, unless you really expect it to happen, it's not worth slowing. You'll slow your players down if you do that.
He is former NFL head coach, NFL Network analyst Mike Nolan. Great catching up with you, Mike. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. All the best to you.
You too. There's, again, Mike Nolan. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, that's what football players say. Like, Luke's told us that a million times. Every week is a Super Bowl in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the importance of every game and
barely
the build-up.
Yeah,
you got a week. Like, and next week, it's a gong show. Like, if you're at the Super Bowl, there's so many things going on. You're getting pulled in so many different directions. See, Jerry Jones is doubling down on Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott and talking about giving Dak even more of an extension at some point, and more money and more commitment.
Why? How could you even be saying that? Like, it's lunacy.
Yeah.
Because guaranteed, the overdrive of Dallas is asking the same questions that we're talking about, is why can you win with this guy? He's hearing noise out there, guaranteed.
And he's giving you an answer. He's like, I'm not doing anything.
Don't even go there.
McCarthy's coming back. Dak is coming back, and they could be here for years. Like, Jerry Jones has a reputation of being a gunslinger and a maverick. He's very loyal.
Pretty loyal, yeah.
Like, yeah, he had Jason Garrett as a head coach for a long time.
Right.
The clapper. Like, a lot of people were saying about Garrett, like, two years in.
He does spit and claps.
Yeah. He's got an awkward vibe, clapper. Too, in that NBC studio, man.
The clapper.
The clapper. They just call him the clapper. Cause...
Yeah. Michael Lombardi told us that. He's like, he just claps and spits on the ground.
Yeah. And he was there for a long time.
Yeah.
So
he was.
Jones and Cowboys are going to be a good team. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think they'll be a good team. And, you know, the alternative might be you're an awful team, and Jones doesn't want that. Jones isn't a young guy either.
Oh.
Like, Jerry Jones is not a young guy.
He looks really old.
Yeah,
he is.
He's in his 80s now, I think. Like, he's been around for a while. Like, he bought the team 35 years ago, and at that point, he must have been in his late 40s or 50s.
He's 80 years old right now.
He's 80.
80. He's grizzled.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Coming up, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, our Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The Grizzlies have been struggling. Your boy, Ja Morant, he's being called out because he was saying, I'm good in the West. We're all good out in the West. They're in Cleveland tonight. They're getting 6.5. They're better than this. Like, at some point, they're going to come back alive. You give me 6.5, I'll take the Grizzlies tonight. I think the Bulls destroy Charlotte tonight at home. I will lay the points.
You
it's
hate
a big
Charlotte.
Number.
They're terrible. On your list.
Man. All the time. I fade them as much as I possibly can. And Golden State at Denver. Denver's Jokic is back as a relatively large favorite to win the MVP.
Oh, yeah.
I think now I think the narrative is going to become you have to give it to him. Because it doesn't matter that it's 3 in a row.
Your boy like Embiid going the dumped other way. 50 on him the other day, though.
Yeah, Embiid.
Or 48 or something.
Embiid's in the running.
There's, he always is, but he never wins it.
He won't
win
it,
though. They made a big deal about him that night.
Yes.
But.
Yeah. But Jokic, his numbers are as good, if not better, than the previous 2 years.
Yeah, you got to give it to him.
You know, but Golden State's getting 12 tonight. They haven't been great on the road, but that's a big number. I'll lay the points. Or I'll take the points, with Golden State in Denver tonight. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So, yeah, we got NBA action, and we got the Pro Bowl this weekend. Always exciting.
That's not even a game anymore. That's
no,
a competition.
Not. It's not.
You throw footballs through tires.
Yeah. It's a skills competition. They don't keep score. They don't play games.
No.
And then the NHL's All-Star Game this weekend.
And Johnny's right. It's not for like a traditionalist, the NHL All-Star Game to watch.
They got you anyway. You're going to watch the NHL games.
It's better for people on site. Watching it on TV is no good. Being there, when I went to the All-Star Game in Nashville a couple years ago, that was awesome. Like, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for the city. It's for
the
fans that travel there to watch their team being represented. Like, it's... There's a buzz about it. People are loving it. I've got buddies that flew to Florida. They're going to golf. They're going to enjoy themselves. And, we'll catch the All-Star game. Like it's not for us,
about the event. No, exactly. It's an event. An event. And there's more to it than the actual game. And there have been reports recently it's coming up to Toronto. Like, I thought I saw that in the next couple of years, like, the Leafs are going to bid. Because the last time it was here was in 2000, I think.
Yeah.
So every 25 years or so, it's going to likely roll through.
Yeah.
And my kids would want to go. Sure, we'll go down there, right? The score is completely irrelevant, but if there's events and there's giveaways, that's what people are looking for.
Well, I saw Ovi's down there. At least he didn't take the one-game suspension. Nobody took the one-game suspension this year, did they?
Not that I've heard of, no.
Right? Like...
Yeah, you could either take it before or after.
Right.
There have been injuries, like Tage Thompson's out.
Yeah,
I feel bad for that kid. Like, he probably wanted to be there because he hasn't been there yet.
I don't think so. And also, Darlene was a fitting replacement for him. They plugged him in.
Mm-hmm.
All he'd have to do is cancel whatever he was doing. But he's a hell of a player and gets an opportunity to go.
Tell you what, man. You maybe throw a veteran D in that Sabres team and a goalie.
they're coming.
They're coming.
Yeah, they've got some players there.
Owen Power is going to be good now. Like that's.
Well, their 4D are 22 and under, including the guy who got the 7-year deal.
But wouldn't that make you sick, Noodles? We talked about it last week. Watching what we talked about as a potential Hart Trophy winner, the goalie in Boston.
Yeah, I know. That's it. That could be the turning point. That's
right.
three or four points that could get
you
in.
That's their Tuukka Rask.
That is exactly right. I'm seeing some reports coming out about Joe Mixon. That are not good.
I don't know.
In terms of, like, these are legitimate people following this stuff and, like, legitimate accounts reporting on it. Like, I think the Bengals have made a statement. Like, there's a warrant out for his arrest on account of aggravated menacing.
Oh, no.
There's your star running back for the Bengals. Now, again, the Bengals are not in the Super Bowl, but still, that's an off-season story that likely picks up some steam.
Well, there was another one in Philadelphia yesterday, too, that's not good.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Anyway, didn't want to close the show on a negative front. You know,
shout out to all by you.
Shout out to all the groundhogs out there.
Exactly.
We're thinking of you today.
R.I.P. Fred.
R.I.P. Fred in Quebec, absolutely.
And to the people who wear Skechers, too.
JP and the Skecher crew, we love all of you.
Love you.
We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Skechers for Life, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.